To cease suffering, we must cease doing what perpetuates, what feeds suffering and harming. And what perpetuates suffering and harming? Believing, holding, acting out of self-centered thoughts and feelings. It's very straightforward, very simple, yet it's the opposite of what many of us do much of the time. Experiencing, being this moment, is not any particular thing. It does not focus on any particular thing, much less hold to anything. It is who we are, and experiencing does not exclude or reject anything. And nevertheless, holding to self-centered thoughts, holding to thoughts and emotions is the practice opportunity that requires our effort. It requires our attention when these arise if we want to reduce, put an end to suffering and harming for us, for all that we meet, for all beings. I, me, mine, they seem natural and seem like a automatic way to operate in the world. Yet they are what keeps suffering and harming going. They are habits, and habits that are strong, and yet they're habits that, if we are sensitive to them, they're the opportunity to notice and respond to life, to our life, to the life of the universe, in skillful ways. Because otherwise, if we're not noticing them, if we buy into them automatically, as we often do, then greed, anger, and all sorts of delusionary dreams follow them. Suffering, harming, blaming, all of them occur naturally as a result of it. Whether we use words like self-centered, other-centered, theories, ideology, beliefs, justifications, there's not much difference in the consequences of that. If we believe anger, if we believe justifications, they feed and energize, but they make life hellish. And it's similar with greed and other delusions, because they keep us from embodying the life that we are, embodying this universe, embodying being with all the beings who are our life. And what is needed is not figuring this out or knowing this, but making the practice effort, making the practice effort of noticing what's arising, sensing, arising, holding, and when we notice it, doing what's necessary, physically, mentally, and most simple is sitting upright, being zazen, being zazening our life, which enables us and supports us in noticing what's called for. See? Z. Zazening clarifies our life when done skillfully. It clarifies it in our sitting, and it clarifies it at other times. It enables us to see what's needed and to, in a way, be guided by the teaching, you know, to do what's skillful. And your ongoing practice clarifies what's needed. It's your attention to this moment that nurtures and supports the life of the universe. That's, I'll say, helpful and appropriate. In a way, I don't want to say too much more now. I want to encourage us to practice, especially in this week leading up to the Zazenkai of next weekend. Bhushan will tell you more details about that, but to be the intimacy of your life practice, the intimacy of not knowing, if I say it in that way. But please don't be bound or caught by that, those words. Knowing is most intimate, and not knowing is most intimate. It's not a matter of words, knowing, not knowing. It's this moment as is, which is our life, which is your life, and is the opportunity to be and do what's called for. Thank you.